The truth is always out there, sometimes way out there, with the Midweek Drive team on Siren 107.3 FM.
So already prepped and ready, together with obviously a slightly buzzy microphone system that seems to be... Ooh, that sounds very painful indeed in every sense of the word. I would say actually take your headphones off, people, whilst we're sort of working on this, and I'll actually run the risk of hopefully moving a slight thing. There, it was a loose wire here. They're trying to electrocute me, obviously. You can pop your headphones back on now, people. That should be a lot better. Fortunately, I think about such things. Cameron... It doesn't mean that just because I'm paranoid they're not out to get me, does it, really?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Plenty of loose wires around.
How strange and bizarre, but still, I knew there was a loose wire somewhere, and clearly it was in this microphone. Anyway, enough of that bit of Brechtian deconstructionism, because after all, you can only take so much, can't you, Jason, before we move into a whole range of other factors.
This time of evening before Christmas, yes.
Absolutely. And let's just sort of set the scene, because, Claire, of course, you were sharing the joy of things to come this afternoon.
I was.
Was it lovelier and lovelier?
Slightly. I mean, it was a little bit disturbing.
Yes.
And quite ominous.
That's H.G. Wells, of course.
Yes. But no, it was a very good film. I enjoyed it. And I thought it was quite apt that it was made 1936. So 3 years before the war. And yeah, it was very, very ominous.
And the never-ending war. And arguably the first kind of suggestion of zombies. Of course, the white zombie was there, but you did have the sleeping sickness. See what you missed, Emma Tennyson?
But
you're at a meeting.
Zombies.
It's okay, Emma. Don't worry. That's, I mean, zombies as well.
Now, all that talk about, you know, sleeping sickness and zombies and overwhelming and disturbing, I thought you were going to talk about the X Factor.
Nicely put, and nice to see that those cultural references make it all the way to Nashville. Go on, Cameron. What's the weather like in Nashville today?
A little on the chilly side, but it has finally stopped raining. We were in Arkansas from like Wednesday night last week, so we got rain starting on Friday, and it was just heavy and torrential for, well, right up through yesterday. So it's finally stopped.
Well, that's
sun's out now.
That's because you're doing your transatlantic link with Siren 107.3 FM. We'll talk about
that's
Nashville,
right,
and a few other bits
that's
and pieces
it
as well, but I know that Eva and Emma and Tessa and Claire and Jason are all desperately keen to actually find out what musical treat you've brought for us today by a certain Brad Sims. Take it away, Cameron.
Yeah, this guy came to our attention. He's from Grand Prairie, Alberta. He's been shaking things up in the Alberta country music scene for the past little while. Just signed a nice little record deal, too, with the label that had Gord Bamford on it, who's one of Canada's top stars. So I think big things are going to happen for this guy. I really hope you like this song. I'm excited to play it to you. This is Brad Sims and a brand new song, She'd Look Good on Me, on Siren 107.3.
Serving on the other side of that bar, I sat down and ordered me another round. I don't know if I can be mad. I tell you, girl, you look good on me.
Now, loath though I am to actually worry anybody, but when you say she'd look good on me, we're not advocating skinning the person alive, are we, Cameron? I mean, that's, you know, not for this time of the evening at all, in any way, shape or form. Brad Sims there. Let's find out what the team thought of Brad Sims, having gazed in wonderment at his website, of course, which is bradsims.ca. Claire, do you want to take this first of all?
I thought it was really quite jazzy. Quite liked it.
Okay.
Bit of a head bopper.
Indeed, Johnny Cash-esque sort of
yes.
feel there. Emma, what did you make of Brad Sims?
I really liked it, actually. I mean, we're all saying in the studio it's definitely very country. Yeah. But yeah, a bit sort of pop rocky as well, which I quite liked.
Eva?
It's got a mix of genres, I think, yeah.
A mix of genres. Genre hybridization from our young operatic soul there. Very good.
Pop.
Yeah, okay.
Good.
Tessa?
My foot was tapping all the way.
Mm, okay.
And I was admiring his hat on the
The hat is very impressive. Look. Yeah, the hat is very impressive. I have to say that. So I think it's okay. Yeah. I thought we'd played it before somehow, Cameron, but you deny that. Maybe it's a past life or something. I really did think, you know, we've featured this before, but no. But an interesting bio, as we said, in terms of the sort of things that he's got up to. No stranger to the genre, Brad's call to immerse himself in all things country occurred when attending an annual Bud Country Fever Music Festival.
Oh, nice.
There you go.
Realization of one day.
And talking about festivals, I mean, the big deal is National Finals Rodeo starts this week in Las Vegas. 10 days of top cowboys in the world and the top rodeo stock in the world. It's a blast. So maybe one day Brad will play at NFR.
And maybe one day we'll get a midweek drive excursion to actually see this rodeo in action.
There you go.
Yeah, it's a way forward. Yeah. Jason, maybe we can put it down to some sort of staff development thing.
Just slip that one in there, Alex. Yeah. What else will I be agreeing to before the end of the night?
It's a different... Jason, any questions you want to put to Cameron about life, the universe, or indeed Nashville's acts?
Yes, how do you deal with Alex when he's getting really asking all those pesky questions?
The proper two words are self-medication.
I'm firmly looking forward to that later on this evening.
That's okay, Emma, last two interrogatives, please, for
last
Cameron.
Last two interrogatives, I like that. Yeah. Cameron, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this evening?
I have. It's been fun.
And will you be joining us again on the programme anytime soon?
You got it. See you next Wednesday.
What's going on these days? People are getting famous from YouTube. I mean, have you heard of that guy, KSI? Apparently, he's got millions of subscribers, and a book, and a movie, and a Lamborghini, and a song about a Lamborghini. Who the hell are the Sidemen? All over my...
I think it's a rhetorical question, but I could be incorrect. Perhaps it's also echoing the strand that, of course, brought us Dizzy Rascal and Bonkers, which is another little classic, which I'm amazed actually doesn't actually emerge more in canon literature these days. However, it doesn't seem as though we're reaching Jersey, folks.
No, it doesn't.
We reached her before the programme, and she said, yes, it is this number, but once
she's
again...
She's been sneaking off the past few weeks, hasn't she?
Laura, and she was particularly interested in actually talking about William Blake, because she said, oh, I spoke to Professor Whittaker before. She said, never mind. So
that's what she told you before she disappeared.
Clearly.
Yeah. I really want to talk about William Blake. Exactly. Call me the future life.
It's the universe in a grain of sand, Jason.
That's and heaven in a wild flower.
Precisely, and that's the more words that sort of adds the whole thing through. But I do talk about words. Have in my hand a copy of Lincoln City Centre, North of the River, with them, the latest in a publication, which is a joint collaboration between the University of Lincoln and Bishop Grosseteste University. I can't believe I said those words, but I have.
Exactly.
And it's a continuing series of the Survey of Lincoln. Andrew Walker, who, of course, is... in many ways, he would be probably the Patrick Troughton to your John Pertwee in many ways. Or possibly Tom Baker, actually, if we had a sort of
interview. I'll go for Tom Baker.
I think Tom
actually,
Baker.
John Pertwee
exactly. In terms of line managers, of course, the forerunner of both would be William Hartnell, who would be Alan McLaurin. I'll mention that name to Andrew, and he'll probably sort of resonate with joy and delight. Andrew is currently the Deputy Vice Chancellor at the wonderful Rose Bruford College and should hopefully be with us shortly. Although currently he's not online because we're getting his answer phone, which might mean we leave a message there. So it's just one of those things. But in terms of history, I mean, Jason, if we come to you first and foremost, as Lincoln City Centre obviously continues to evolve, we've got the Christmas market tomorrow, all these events, do you think that publications like this do help give us a sense of the history of the place, the history of the region, and actually some of the photographs that combine Lincoln past and present? Does it help as a relative newcomer to
yes.
the region yourself?
Yes. If I can speak with one really specific example, and my wife's been really interested in this. We've moved to a small village just outside Lincoln, a place called Newton-on-Trent, and she has become... deeply fascinated and full of joy when she's found out sort of old photos, stories about this village, which she has rapidly, very rapidly made her home. Of course, Lincoln's different to a lot of cities in that whilst the book's covering the city centre, of course, you have a much longer and very prestigious history attached to the city, which very few other places can boast of to the same degree.
Well, and of course there is that Magna Carta thing, which
that as well. Continue, sort of that scrap of parchment somewhere.
That keeps the Americans happy, that's all I can say. By Leslie Clark, the small stone building sandwiched between the Lincoln Central Library and St. Swithin's Church, now known as Greyfriars, was once part of a much larger... It's so Moorish, that you literally forget you're doing a radio show when you actually get hold of one of these fabulous documents, produced, of course, by Dr. Andrew Walker. Andrew, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you, Alex. How are you?
I'm very well indeed. As I was just been saying, Andrew, I defined you as in many ways the Patrick Troughton to Jason Whittaker's Tom Baker in terms of line managers of yours truly. I know it's been challenging over the years, but we saw ourselves through many things.
Tom Baker, you know, was a student at Rosebriefeth College.
There you are, you see. makes perfect
sense. I had to
sense.
Get that in.
Yeah. And Alan McLaurin would be our William Hartnell. But still, there we are. That's another thought. Anyway, formal introductions. I'm going to introduce Dr. Andrew Walker to Professor Jason Whittaker.
Very pleased
Hello,
to meet you.
Hello.
Oh, magically put together from that point of view. We also have Claire Margerison, finally your English language student at the University of Lincoln. Actually, it's just English, isn't it?
Yeah.
Forget the language. It's just English.
Who cares about the language?
Oh. Hello, Claire.
Hi.
And person who actually sort of encountered science fiction in the third year with the module first time and haven't looked back, really.
I haven't. It's been life-changing.
Well, I like to think Tessa Snart, who's a first-year journalism student who's just had almost a full term of reporting continuity and change, which actually, Tessa, Andrew used to present as well.
So
that little session I did on the BBC, a lot of that was rooted in the fine work that Andrew Walker had put together. Oh. So, and more, So it's keep taking.
Good to hear that it's still going strong.
Keep taking the tabloids tomorrow, so that's even more fun to look forward to. Yeah,
definitely.
Hopefully the delivery matches your own, Andrew. That's the important thing.
I'm sure it will.
I like to leave them with a positive thing when they leave the lecture theatre, customer satisfaction and all that. And we have Eva McDonald, who I don't think we spoke to Eva before. Eva is taking a year out.
Yes, I am.
Hello, Eva.
Hello.
But is actually a resident of Lincoln. In fact, the only person in the studio who is a resident. She actually lives in Lincoln. Well, I suppose technically, Jason, you do as well now. Is it that sort of slight...
10 miles away. So,
yeah.
That's Greater Lincoln. It's sort of like Greater Manchester or something.
Yeah. Exactly. And Emma Tinson, who is a final year journalism student who, again, has experienced both reporting continuity and change and origins of modern Britain.
Yes.
Excellent. Oh, very good.
Celebrate and rejoice. But let's talk about what we're here to speak about, Andrew, which is, of course, this delightful latest publication, which is Lincoln City Centre, of course, north of the River Witham. Talk to us about the Survey of Lincoln project and how it just continues to go from strength to strength.
Yes, well, thank you for that. The Survey of Lincoln, it's a group within the city who are particularly interested in what we call the material fabric of the city and its history. So buildings and structures within the city that we feel justify some attention. So over the past 15 years or so, we've been producing this series of booklets which have looked at various parts of the city. And this latest one is quite significant to us in that it completes the circuit of the city. So we feel that almost all parts of the city now have a Survey of Lincoln booklet dedicated to it, though we haven't necessarily finished there. We do feel that some of those neighbourhoods really do merit further volumes in the fullness of time. But Lincoln City Centre north of the River Witham is to an extent the final one in the neighbourhood booklet series for now. So that's 11 volumes that have been dedicated to particular neighbourhoods. So we thought it would be appropriate to end with one looking at the city centre. So
it may just be the end of the beginning, Andrew, because...
Well, yes. I mean, various people have suggested that we go around all of them again, which that's another 15 years.
Yes. you can't rush genius at all. Jason, any thoughts on what you've seen so far? Because admittedly, you just had a quick flick through earlier this afternoon.
No, it's great that actually somebody's doing that work, collecting together, as you say, focusing on the material culture, the kind of stuff that people take for granted when they walk by. And
absolutely. Yeah,
Don't stare at carefully, you know. And I'm also a big fan, well, I'm not sure it comes up in Lincolnshire circles, but for the psychogeography, sort of being Blakehead,
yeah.
Yes, I've spent far too many hours of my life looking for obscure places to commune, etc.
So
I'm very interested in the work you're doing, very interested indeed.
Well, thank you. And of course, it really is, my role is very much that of editor, so
yes.
there are some 19 contributions. 19 contributors to the latest volume, and that's much the same in previous volumes too. And it's interesting what you were saying about the changing nature of the content of these booklets, because what we've sought to do is to ensure that amongst the illustrations, not only are there sort of historic photographs and images, but also contemporary images that have been largely put together by members of the University of Lincoln team, particularly Adam O'Meara and Mike Mason, and with this one too, Dave Pritchard. And what we found is that those contemporary images, 2 or 3 years after the book has been published, end up being pretty historic themselves. So, for instance, we had a photo essay a few volumes back on Lincoln's pubs. Well, about half of those featured are no longer in existence. So there we go.
It's just the constant change. Of course, Mike Mason has stepped aside. He's not a regular here anymore. He's moved other sort of zones.
Yes.
Et cetera. Dave Pritchard, of course, still with us and still sort of doing various other bits and pieces. But great material. Tessa, I know from your time on the show so far, you always like to do your research. And I'm sure you will have been using those wonderful search engines across the globe to find out some stuff about Andrew Walker. So, Tessa, would you like to take this opportunity, please?
I just had a little look on the website and just to see all the different publications. But just looking through this new one, I was shocked to see Burton and Primark.
Way back then. Yes, absolutely.
So
yes, it's been there.
Other stores are available, but let's just brand it out there.
I know. I didn't realise they went so far back.
Oh, yeah.
That's incredible. Yeah.
Mind you, of course, everything's relative to a girl from Peterborough.
But
still. Claire, any thoughts for yourself?
I think it's really incredible and really important as well. If you go around Lincoln, there are just so many buildings that you don't really know the stories of. And as someone who loves stories, I think it's really brilliant. It's great.
Great. Oh, well, good. And I think really what this series should encourage people to do is to look above the ground floor of so many of the shops and sort of retail premises, and because you really do get a bit of a sense of the history of these places by doing that.
Emma, from your own perspective, obviously as a journalism student, I mean, tomorrow we have the grand opening of the Christmas market and all the history that goes back to the 1980s, a long time ago. And that first ever so many ways, you know. Manchester City were only dreaming of another championship then, and look what's happened to us now, you know. Celebrating, you want to point, actually, Jason, that Andrew and myself joined the University of Humberside, as was at the same time, and were both City supporters, and still are, really.
Well, somebody's got to do it. You have my deepest sympathies.
But Emma, from your own point of view, does this resonate with sort of keeping your eyes open and finding out those stories?
You know, I mean, one of the things that brought me to Lincoln. Obviously, I was brought here originally to look at the university, and I went round on the open day, but also was really interested by the city itself and the fact that there's lots of new buildings and old buildings combined, and I feel there's a lot of culture here. So, Andrew, is it something that you think maybe should engage younger people and they should learn more about their local community?
Absolutely, yes, very much so. And one of the things we're hoping is that this series of booklets sort of whets the appetite for younger readers to explore some of these areas in rather more detail. And I know that various previous volumes have sort of sit on the shelves of both the University of Lincoln and the other place in the city, Bishop Grosseteste University.
I know it hurts you to say those words. It's okay.
And are used by students in both. And to that extent, it's very good that both of those institutions have very generously supported the publication of the latest volume.
Well, the other exciting thing, Andrew, is you're present now, telephonically at least, at another publication announcement, because I've been saying this for the last few weeks, the publication that most people are really sort of desperate to actually get in on an annual basis is, of course, the 2016 Midweek Drive calendar. And
absolutely,
we can formally present Professor Jason Whittaker with his very own copy.
Thank you.
And we can also present Emma Tinson with her very own copy.
Thank you.
And we can also present Eva MacDonald with her very own copy.
Thank you.
And if you'd like to check out August, when, of course, Jason actually appeared for the first time, you will find that, yes, the current holder of the august personage that is head of the School of English and Journalism at the University of Lincoln College of Arts scenario is actually a calendar. You are in there in August, Jason. In
wow, it's
full
a good month to be in.
Glorious technical.
Oh, my God.
There we are. Yes. Never let it be said that these photo opportunities we take whilst
that's
other
okay
things.
I'll have to find a copy somewhere.
No, it's okay. I'm going to find every copy and burn.
As I say, we like to feel it sort of shares the bonding. So that point of view, you become a regular Midweek Driver, that's part of the
is it basically you blackmail me now with this?
Yes. Cemented forever.
Exactly. Yes.
It's all great. Andrew, how can people get hold of your publication? I mean, is it best to go online? Are they around in all good parts of Lincoln?
It's available in all of Lincoln's good bookshops, as they say. Am I allowed to mention the names?
Yes, of course you can. What the heck?
Very good, yes. Well, Jews Court on Steep Hill is a good place where you can buy this and previous volumes. Waterstones as well, both shops in the city will stock this. You can actually buy it via the Survey of Lincoln's website. So if you just Google Survey of Lincoln, you'll get information there on how to purchase a copy too. So, it should be readily available, as they say.
Excellent. What a wonderful stocking filler.
£6.95.
That's amazing. That's unbelievable. You know, and £6.95. Just ridiculously sort of expensive. And it's living history in every sense of the word. So let's briefly talk about London's International Drama School, which, of course, hosted Tom Baker, amongst others, in his time, Rose Bruford. How is Michael getting on these days? Professor Michael Early, without whom, of course, probably no Lincoln Performing Arts Centre. See, obviously, this is an escape route to Rose Bruford College.
Certainly, Michael had a big role to play, didn't he?
He did indeed.
The inauguration of drama at the university. He's very well, thank you. Yes, we go, we like to think, from strength to strength. So lots of students recruited this past year. We're in the middle of applying for what we call here TDAP, which is Taught Degree Awarding Powers. So that's keeping us very busy at the moment. So at the moment, our degrees are awarded through the University of Manchester. And if Taught Degree Awarding Powers are granted, then we will be able to award our own Rose Bruford degrees. So that's
like an ostrich, isn't it? Outrageous suggestion taken readily in courageous hands. It's like, I just love these acronyms all over the place.
Absolutely, they're all over
the place. TDAP, Jason. Yeah. Did you come across TDAP?
I actually went through TDAP in my previous institution.
Oh, well, you have
my real sympathy on that one. A lot of work.
Indeed, yeah. Yes. I'll have to talk to you offline.
Indeed.
Yeah.
I like to feel it's putting people together, Andrew. That's the key thing. And as you know, right from the start, and our times with Siren, that's what we always are about, putting people together in its own way. Eva, as the Lincoln resident here, sort of things that have been produced there, do they inspire you to sort of say, that's quite interesting?
They do, yeah. I do find it interesting.
Because you went to which school, of course?
I went to William Farr.
William Farr.
Oh,
in Welton, yes. So it's not in Lincoln.
But not too far away.
It's not too far away. So does that mean that William Farr would not have qualified to be featured in one of these Survey of Lincoln books then, Andrew?
The school itself, I'm afraid, is outside our
boundaries. Outside the
boundaries. Yes, our boundaries are. It's very sad, isn't it? But maybe the Survey of Lincoln should consider extending its boundaries to Greater Lincoln.
The next generation.
Possibly. But we're moving towards a thematic approach to some of our next volumes. So we've got to finalise what those are, but that's the intention over the next year or so.
Technically, without obviously giving out home addresses, etc., which is ridiculous, but in terms of that whole thing, you do live up the hill and not too far away from the hospital and various other things, so you do live in Lincoln.
Up the hill and not too far away.
That's not too far.
Sounds like a nursery.
Strange. Andrew, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
I have. It's always a great delight, Alex, and really good to speak to the other members of the team.
And Andrew, when you send a letter, as you sent to me sort of recently, I mean, dated 23rd of November 2050, I just thought, how can one resist? You know, that's the sort of key thing. So it's worth mentioning, of course, that there is going to be an event linked to the publication of the booklet at Lincolnshire Archives. And when is that event taking place, Andrew?
That is taking place on Saturday, the 12th of December, where we'll have a number of contributors who will be speaking about their chapters. And also, thanks very much to the archivists at Lincolnshire Archives, there will be a number of pieces of documentary evidence linked to the booklet that will also be there on show.
And when in the day is this?
This is from, I think it's 10 o'clock onwards. Probably best to look at the Lincolnshire Archives website, because you do need to book to go there, because I know places are limited. But I think there are still some places available.
Well, if that's possible, and if we're invited, I'm sure we could combine that with, of course, our event that we're covering later on this evening, which is the press screening, or press event, of the pantomime. Yes.
Oh, yes. Well, you'll be able to do both.
It's just,
you go what a day.
Well, actually, it's not, of course, let me rephrase that. It's not a pantomime.
It's the winter show.
It's the winter show.
Winter show.
The winter show, I'm sorry, at the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre.
Ah, excellent. Well, I hope all goes well with that.
Exactly. And it's Peter Pan. It will be wonderful.
Very good.
Exactly. So there we are. Third star on the left, or second star on the left, straight on to the morning. Okay, next question for Andrew is what, Claire?
And will you be joining us again soon?
Oh, I do hope so. Yes, good. That would be great. Thank you.
Well, I did say, Andrew, even though you were sort of leaving and moving to another institution, I couldn't believe there was another institution at the University of Lincoln, actually, after many... I mean, how long did you actually do in terms of your time?
I was there for 18 years.
18
years. Just three university titles.
A stripling.
University of Humberside, University of Lincolnshire, and Humberside, University of Lincoln.
There we are, see. It's giving our living history, Jason, that sort of...
three titles, two cities.
And you can't say that about many institutions, can you? Shakespeare's sister, your history, and Anna Lewis is not, because she's with us. What was happening, Anna? I mean, even Emma Tinson said you've been doing all sorts of things with your phone. What's going on there? Oh, it's gone. Oh, you see, that's exactly it. You know, that's what you call that. I'm outrageous. Still, maybe she hasn't worked out that she has to. No. It's just not going. Not with them. Okay, we will try again.
Jersey
hopefully,
signal.
No, it's not Jersey signal.
It's since probably, I've started the show,
there
so
are challenges.
Me.
There. We will hopefully squeeze her in just before the news.
take a hike right out of here. Your history.
No good for me.
Your history. Nah, 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 nah. Like a walnut shoe. You're nothing new. Your history.
Okay, Anna, have you made it back to us?
Yes,
right,
I
well, very quickly.
I'm not moving from this spot.
Do not move from this spot at all. Stay exactly where you are. Put your question to Professor Jason Whittaker about Blake.
Yes, well, Mr. Blake, I actually had the pleasure of visiting, well, it's not a pleasure, really. I saw his grave in Bunyan Hill Field Cemetery only a matter of weeks ago.
Yes.
And there were little votive candles there, which was very touching. But it says nearby, so I suppose that, given the development in the cemetery, they wouldn't know exactly where he is.
No.
He knows something.
And lots of people who were buried there, marked graves were for people who were relatively well off. You had to have a considerable amount of money to buy a tombstone. So lots of people would just be buried in a field, Bunhill Field in this case, with no clear mark.
No, it's a fascinating cemetery because it's got so many visionary people like Daniel Defoe in it.
Yes.
And if I had more time and it wasn't, because it's all barricaded off, padlocks and stuff like that. So I would like to go back and have a pro. Have you been there yourself?
I have been there because it's the nonconformist cemetery. So, yes, there are lots of very famous figures who weren't allowed into the proper cemeteries, the Anglican cemeteries.
Right. Oh, and are you working on any Blake research yourself at the moment?
I'm doing some stuff on Jerusalem, the hymn, because it's at the 100th anniversary. Yes.
Oh, really excellent.
Yes, so I'm working on a book on that, yes.
I mean, visionary isn't the word, is it? I mean, to describe him as a visionary is just a simplification.
It was also the fact he just saw it on a daily basis. So, just walking down the street, he'd see Queen Boadicea and, several hundred Britons just streaming down the Oxford streets.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
was a bit odd, but I love him for it.
I know. I mean, they probably have a condition for him if from a modern psychiatric point of view.
There are there are lots of people, and in very pleasant ways as well. They're sort of, because it's not simply hallucinating because he knew it was imagination. He wasn't mad at all in that sense, but he had very active visual imagination.
I mean, I don't know much about the connection with Swedenborg, but I've got Arcana Celestia and Heaven's Hell at home. And, I mean, I'm afraid that does sound a bit far-fetched, But
it's also incredibly tedious compared to William Blake. They're just really long, boring books, whereas Blake, the one to read is The Marriage of Heaven and Hell, which is basically, God is really on the side of the devils and everything you know about the world is wrong. Next.
Didn't Philip K. Dick say exactly the same thing in his last
Well,
maybe
lots
the
of
same
people.
Person.
Blake was really big on the West Coast, California in the 1960s, precisely the time when Dick was writing. He was immensely influential on lots of countercultural Americans of the 1960s. Mm. So the Doors take their name from if the Doors of Perception were cleansed, everything could appear to man as it truly is, infinite.
You see what you see?
Oh, wow.
The key thing, Jason, I knew this would work. We just had to believe in it. And that's the key point, isn't it, Emma Tinson? She wasn't trying to hide from us.
No, I'm sure you weren't.
Although now she probably wishes she was. Yes.
Not at all. All great stuff. And of course, the K in Philip K. Dick stands for.
Don't look at me. I don't know. I'm letting you down. I'm sorry, Alan.
Oh, dear. It's the same. It's the same as the K in Ursula K. Le Guin. It stands for kindred.
In fact, I don't remember you saying that.
Sometimes,
it was a couple of weeks ago.
I drop these things
why
in.
You take notes.
The short-term memory just explodes. Never mind. So, Anna, as we've got seconds to go, literally before the news, so we'll talk up to that. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
I have indeed. Thank you, and sorry for the technical hitches.
Have you now worked out what the telephone number is and how to actually answer the phone?
Answering the phone's the most difficult, but I actually rang it from another phone to see how it worked. Blake could have managed.
You wouldn't think we were contemporaries at the University of London together, but there we are. That's part and parcel of the whole thing. You do one way, I do the sciences. Anna, will you return next week?
I will certainly do my very best. Yeah. My technology allowing.
And we won't give up on you. That's the important thing. We won't give up on you because it's now coming around to 5:45. It is time for the Siren News.